What we want to do today is speak more about the general issues in Maleches Shabbos. Last time we spoke about Amir Lako, we were very focused on one specific area. We spoke about Schiros and Kablonos. And of course, the overriding rule for Maleches Shabbos is Maleches Machsheves. So we're going to try to focus on three different dimensions of Maleches Machsheves. And we'll keep in mind that at least on a superficial level, I don't think it's a paradox, but it looks a little bit contradictory, because Maleches Machsheves usually is a kula, which means that the Torah sets up standards for Maleches Shabbos and conditions that are very specific to Maleches Shabbos. In other Malachos, in Kol Tarkula, you'd be Chayav, and you wouldn't have those conditions and those standards. And that makes Maleches Machsheves a kula. But we're going to see that Maleches Machsheves is not necessarily a kula. Maleches Machsheves is also a chumra. So I would classify this shiur as a kind of introduction and an overview to the concept of Maleches Machsheves. So we're going to divide our discussion into three parts, and we're not going to necessarily follow these Maor Makomos in the sequence that I have them for you, but we're certainly going to start with page one. And this is the issue of Mekalkel. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis analyzes the sugya of Mekalkel. And the Rambam codifies this in Perek Yud Beis Milcha Shabbos, Halacha Aleph. The Ram at the end of Halacha Aleph says, Hamachamim es habarzel, kidei litzarfo b'mayim, hareze toldos mavir v'chayav. So if we were learning Maleches Mavir, that's not our subject for today, we would take this Rambam under advisement. This is the Rambam of Maleches Mitzarif. But what I'm more interested in is the beginning of the Rambam. Because here the Rambam presents the case for Mekalkel. He says, Avalim hivir derech hashchasa. There are many situations in which you burn something and you destroy it. Potur. Neshu Mekalkel. And then the Rambam lists exceptions to this rule. Situations in which that you destroy something through Mavir, but yet it's not considered Kilkul, but rather it's Tikkun. And we'll pay attention to the Rambam. He says, Va'mavir gidisho shel chavero. He burns down his friend's haystack. What could be more of a Mekalkel than that? Oh, asorev diroso. He burns down his friend's flat. To our surprise, the Rambam says, Chayev. Afal tishu mashchis. So when we look at this action from a perspective of the observer, we would surely define it and describe it as hashchasa, as kilkul. But nevertheless, the Rambam says he's chayav mipnei shekavanaso li nakev misono, because he really had in his mind some purpose in this havara, in this hashchasa. He cools himself down and he reduces his level of anger. Right? And I'm sure, Shimi, you would probably have a lot to say about this, about anger reduction. Vinasa, and the Rambam compares it, this seems to be the paradigm of what should be Mekalkel, but because of your intention, is not Mekalkel. And that is Korea al Meso. And we'll soon see that the Gemara says Korea al Meso is Mekai in the midst of Kriya. It's his own relative. But then the Rambam adds, O Bechamaso. He's ripping something out of anger. And that's not so simple. We're going to see in the Gemara that there's a Hava mean in the Gemara and the Maskon of the Gemara. The Rambam seems to be adopting what might be the Hava mean of the Gemara. And the Rambam says that if out of anger he rips something, he's chayav for Meleches Korea. Ukechovel b'chaveru b'shas meriva. Right, he beats someone up, he wounds him, and he's chayav mishum chovel. Why? Because it's b'shas meriva. Shekol elu mitaknin hein etzel yitzro hara. Yitzro hara. In all these cases, he is sort of feeding his yetzer hara, and it's a tikkun for his yetzer hara. The Ravid is not going to be excited about this. It sounds like Koheles, but this is typical of the Ravid. He says, "Kol zeh hevel ureus ruach." Let's just go back to the sugi itself to see where the Rambam was coming from, where the Ravid's coming from, and we'll see that this machlokas, Rambam and Ravid, although we've seen it here in Perek Yud Beis, already appears earlier in Perek Ches. The Gemara says that there's a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says, Korea b'chamoso, or Korea meso, is potur, and the Braisa says he's chayav. And the Gemara answers that there's no stira, because our braisa that says you're chayav for korea be evlo is talking about a case of meisti day. Rashi is quick to point out. So what if it's meisti day? Rashi says shechayav likra olav. The mitzvah's kriya hilkach kriya di day lav kilkelhu elatiku. So Rashi puts the emphasis here on the chiyuv kriya, or the mitzvah's kriya. So the Gemara right away is going to ask the next question. Tenach meso, you have the koreal meso case, that surely is a mitzvah, it's his mace. But what about chamoso? Why does the Braisa say yechaya for chamoso? Kasha. So the Gemara answers, Emor deshametle l'Rab Yehuda b'misaken. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that Yechayev from Allah Hashem Tzricha Legufa, meaning he doesn't really need the Kriya itself, but that's irrelevant according to Rabbi Yehuda, but that's only B'Misaken. Even Rabbi Yehuda adopts the requirement of Tikkun. But B'Makalkel Mishamitle, even Rabbi Yehuda has a Ptur of Makalkel. So even though I grant you that he's angry and he's ripping clothing out of anger, but nevertheless, look at the beged, he ripped it apart, it's a case of makalkel. And if Rabbi Yehuda would say you're potter, so there's no one to whom you can attribute the authorship of this braisa. Amar Rabbi Ovin, hai nami mitakin hu. Not only is the case of korea al meso constitute mitakin, but even the case of korea machamoso is metaken to ka'ovid nachasruach liyotro. And if we were to put a self pasuk here at this point, then we have the Rambam shita. The Rambam says that korea al meso o b'chamoso chayav, and the Rambam lists this amongst all the cases in which he's metaken etzel yitzron hara. And that's the Gemara. So why is the Ravid so upset about the Rambam? Because the next line in the Gemara seems to make an about face. Ukahai gavna mishari. Is it really true? Vatanya. Now, what's mishari over here? So we'll see Rashi in just a moment. But, you know, everyone should be aware of the problematic language of the Gemara. I mean, what do you mean mishari? We just finished saying that korea michamoso is chayav for meleches korea on Shabbos, and it constitutes a tikkun. Why does the Gemara all of a sudden jump in and say ukahai gavna mishari? And the Gemara now, to prove its point in this objection, quotes Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says in the name of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri that a person who is makarea b'godav b'chamoso, or he's Meshaber Kalov Bechamoso, etc., etc., he's Oved Avodah Zarah. I don't know, literally, I don't know if he's literally Chayav Mishum Avodah Zarah, but I don't know if it's Yehorik Val Yavar, but in any event, it is a serious violation. And based on this kasha, the Gemara finally concludes that what's the case of Korea Mechamoso, Lo Tzricha, which is Chayav according to the Braisa, Lo Tzricha, Deka Ovid, Lemirma, Emosa, Ainche Besa. That he's not ripping out of anger, because that would constitute ke oved avodah zarah, but he's ripping in order to somehow impose a sense of awe on the people around him. And that's part of his educational process. I guess you could compare it, if you want, as the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah speaks about Tinoko Shaveis Rabban, you know, instead of scaring them by ripping things, you can hit them. Again, the Rambam has very strict conditions that have to be made in order to allow Hakah. Today they would probably prosecute you for it, but in the Chadarim, you know, if you don't publicize it, Beinenu, they still do this. You know, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it has the opposite effect. Okay, but that's just in passing. In any event, so now you're trying to scare the people, make sure that they start behaving themselves, so you rip gadim, and that instills awe into the hearts of your listeners. That's the case of Korea, which is considered a tikkun, but Korea mechamaso, I don't know. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, based on this brisa, Alma lav mitakenu Shemalamed umargil es yitro love all of. We do not advocate, we do not recommend that a person out of a sense of anger rip clothing. That's not a good idea. And if it's not a good idea, Rashi says, lav mitakenu. And we'll see this in the Ravid. Rashi is reflected in the Ravid and many, many other Rishonim, the Ritva and others. And let's take a look to see sort of a repeat, but it's earlier in the Rambam, Perek Ches Halacha Ches. The Rambam says that when are you potur for chovel? Chovel bebehema, bechai viof, bechai yotzeben, this is meleches kilkul. Says the Rambam, mamedvar mamurim, aval chovel bechavero, afal pishin is kaving lahazik. Chayev, mipnei shenachas ruach, mipnei nachas rucho, sharei niskara daito v'shochach hamoso, v'areyu kimisakin. Fine. So even though he has no need for the dam, so it's not a classical case of chovel as netilas adam, but then the Rambam holds that Rabbi Yehu, he accepts Rabbi Yehuda l'aloch l'aloch shein tzuch l'guf is chayev, but the problem is mekalkel. So Rambam says, since he lets out his anger, this is not considered mekalkel. And the Ravid jumps, but in this case, the Ravid actually quotes our sugya, and the sugya says, Omar vam kamen ifloim dvar matmiyim. He says, how could he bring this down l'alocha? Shafilu kriyas begodov im lo lahatil emal anshe beso. Any case in which you rip your clothing out of a sense of anger, unless you're doing it in order to educate the people around you, is karu, the Gemara classifies him as oved avodah zarah. And v'kolshken chovel b'chavero l'nekima. I mean, this is even worse. How could this possibly be a tikkun for which you chayev on Shabbos? So the Ravid is very consistent, and it all comes back to the Gemara's kasha. Ukai gav the mishari. And at the end of the day, the Ravid says that we can only convert machab chovel or korea into a metakein if it's something that's acceptable. It's something that's recommended. But if on the other hand it constitutes a ke'en oved avodah zarah, then for sure that's called kilkul and not metakein. And if you take a look in the Magid Mishnah, the Magid Mishnah defends the Rambam, and he says that the Gemara's kasha ukai gav the mishari is on a sideline. It's sort of a stia from the pshat in the sugya. The Gemara was not asking kai gav the mishari as a question of whether it's metaken or makalkel. That wasn't on the Gemara's mind. Umashe kosav, and that which the Gemara writes, ukai gavna mishari lo ratzu lahakshos al adin sha'amru, the brisa that codifies halach that is chayef a korea michamoso shu metaken metaken etzel yitzro. El Elomar, the Gemara wants to know, ubechol nami mishari. You're telling me in this brisa that on Shabbos you're not allowed to be korea. Mechamoso. Why don't you tell me that even during the week you're not allowed to be korea mechamoso? And since the brisa didn't say so, it's a kasha. But that kasha, says the Magid Mishnah, has nothing to do with Hilcha Shabbos. So basically, just to summarize, the Rambam and the other Rishonim have a machlokas. Where do you put the two dots? Meaning, where does the sugya end? According to the Rambam, the sugya ends with the words of Rabbi Ovin, "Hai nami mitakenu deka Ovid nachas ruach liyotzo." If he does a nachas ruach liyotzo, that makes it into a tikkun. The Gemara goes on and asks a question. That's a different question on a different level. Why did the Braisa limit its discussion about the Issa Shabbos in the case of korea mechamoso? That Issa should apply even during the week. It's a little bit dachuk, but that's how the Magid Mishnah defends the Rambam. Rashi, the Ravid, and other Rishonim, they understand that the sugya doesn't end with Rabbi Ovin. In fact, the sugya now continues to reject Rabbi Ovin. And it's not enough to say that since he does a Nachas Ruach Liyotzro, that itself makes it into a Meleches Tikun. No, it remains a Meleches Kilkul. And the proof of it is because Rav Shimon Elazar says that a person who does this is an Oved Avodah Zarah. So Rabbosai, what is the machlokus between the Rambam and the Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ravid? Anybody? I mean, I'm sure you've seen this before, but just to, I like to define, you know, what's the yisod ha-plugta? No, everybody agrees that lahatil emal anshe beso, there's no yisur avodah zarah, and therefore it's metaken, less mandapol. And that's lahedra in the sugya itself. But the machlokas is, what about korea machamoso, because he wants to give nachas ruach to his yetzer? The Rambam says he's chayev in Shabbos, and the other Rishonim, headed by Rashi, and the Ravid picks this up. They say no, it's mekalkel, and it could be Rabbosai that this machlokas not touches on the very yisod of Melechah Shabbos.
Rashi is with the Ravid.
Yeah, because the Ravid is saying that when the Gemara asks the kasha of Bechai Gavna Mishari, the Gemara is establishing that this is a Meleches Kilkul. Being Motzi, his Yetzahara. That is Avodah Zarah to do such a thing.
But like this is, if you have to have Tikkun in the Bigot itself, or outside is enough?
You're halfway there, but could I ask you to start with the Rambam Shita? Because I don't know what you mean by outside. You know, that's
the Rambam Shita is any tikkun you have whatsoever will be a tikkun. And according to the Rashi, you have to have a tikkun.
Okay.
I don't think
that's going to help us. Can you tell me where the Rambam puts the emphasis in order to supply tikkun or meleches machsheves? What does the word machsheves mean? What, I don't know about the Bir Halacha, but what does machsheves mean according to the Rambam?
You have to have any type of meaning.
Oh, it's his meaning. That's the emphasis.
Yeah, but the Ravid doesn't argue that he doesn't have a meaning of fixing.
No, but the Ravid holds that that's not enough to supply it Meleches Machsheves. According to the Rambam, what engenders Meleches Machsheves? The Gavra. The Kavonas HaGavra. Are you listening? Trust me, this is intelligent, and it'll help you. Meleches Machsheves, from the Rambam's perspective, emanates from the Kavanas HaGavra. The Gavra needs to have a Kavana, which is Tikkun. And therefore, says the Rambam, if the tikkun or the kilkul depends upon daito shel agavra, meaning the asiyas melacha through the gavra is what engenders the status of the melacha itself, you need kavana, you need machshava. Machshava l'shem meleches tikkun, says the Rambam, if he is now enjoying the fact that he is he's metake in his yetzahara, then as such he is engendering into the melacha a shem meleches tikkun. Comes the Rife and he says no. The Rife holds that meleches tikkun depends upon the heft of the melacha. The melacha per se, forget about the gavra, has to be considered a meleches tikkun. And if in terms of the chefta shel melacha, what we have here is a kilkul, that's a greusa in the chefta shel melacha. We don't go laws lean and basa daito. That itself is not enough to engender a meleches machsheves. What we need, says the Ravid, is something which is a tikkun biatzmuso in the guf hamalacha. Says the Ravid, okay, he's doing nachas ruach lemaisav, the maisav, because he himself is reducing his tension level, but that's not enough. The malach has to be in and of itself a maleches tikkun, and therefore we look at the cheft of the maisav malach, we don't look at the gavra and his das. Is there a chashivus to the malach itself, asks the Ravid. I'm reminded, but again, I don't mean to make an analogy, of a sugi in Beitza. The Gemara has a question about mevashel gidanoshe biyontif, whether he's chayev or not. Because, as you know, meleches ochel nefesh is potter on yontif. Is this considered tzarche yontif? And the Gemara vacillates on this point. On the one hand, he decided that he wants to eat gidanoshe. You know, taselo mashu, you know, do him something. But on the other hand, objectively, you can't call it a meleches ochel nefesh when the Torah itself prohibits it. In any event, getting back to this, what is called a meleches tikkun, which is the basic tnai, says the Ravid, the tnai of meleches tikkun is in the ikar shem melacha, the chashivas of the melacha is supplied by the fact that it is a meleches tikkun. And therefore his das cannot convert it into a meleches tikkun. Is there a bosai? If that be the case, I want to ask you the following question. Supposing you had a malacha which is neither a tikkun nor a kilkul. What would you say about that? Let's go intuitively with the Ravid shita. If the Ravid is correct, that in order to upgrade the status of a malacha, to call it a shem malacha, it's got to be a meleches tikkun, then what happens in the neutral state when it's neither tikkun nor kilkul? What would you say? You should be potter. Okay, let's learn a sugya in Masechta Chagiga, which is also here in Perakal Gadol. I don't know. Where is the Rambam, by the way? We've been mentioning the Rambam in Perek Ches Milcha Shabbos, the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Milcha Shabbos, but take a look at the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milcha Shabbos. Halacha Yud Zayin, Kol HaMekalkalin Peturin, Keitzad Arei Shechavol B'Chavero, O B'Behema Derech Hashchosa, V'chein Im Kora B'Godim O Sarfon O Shiber Keim Derech Hashchosa, Reza Potur, Chofar Guma, this is the sugi in Chagiga that we want to see, V'eino Tzarech Eloli Afra, which is, you know, intuitively, as a knee-jerk response, that's a classical case of what? Malach HaShein Tzuch L'Guf, but the Rambam holds like Rav Yehuda, Malach HaShein Tzuch L'Guf is Chayim, says Ram Potur, why? Because he doesn't need the Guma. And if he doesn't need the guma, hareze mekalkel upatur. Now the Rambam adds a whole line. Afal pisha asa melacha, hoil v'kavanaso lekalkel patur. So when does the Rambam establish the patur of mekalkel? What does the Rambam add? Kavanaso lekalkel. Is doch this, I think, would support what we said before, that the Rambam holds that meleches machsheves depends upon the machsheves agavra. What is he interested in? If it's a tikkun from his perspective, it's called a meleches tikkun. And the source for this Rambam is the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara says in Daf Yud, Omar Rabbi Abba, Hachofer Guma B'Shabbos, V'ein Tzarech El Yafra, Potter Ale. Kiman, Ki Rabbi Shimon, the Omalach Chain Tzuch Lugufa Potter Ale. No, Afilu Teimel Rabbi Yehuda, Hasam Metaken. Where does Rabbi Yehuda say Yechai from Omalach Chain Tzuch Lugufa only if it's Tikun? But Hacha Mekalkel Hu. And the Gemara says on the very next Amud, Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. The Gemara says that the problem of Mekalkel is that it's not called a Meleches Machsheves. Rashi says, Afilu Teim Rabbi Yehuda de Polgalei, and he holds that what? That Melech Chayin Tzuch Leguf is Chayev Modavach Guma. Now watch this. Rashi says, the Ilu Hasam HaKover Esames Mitaken Hu. In the case of Kover Esames, he digs a hole, that's called a Tikun, he created a Kever. But hi, but this man digs a hole in his ground. Mekalkel hu eitzel chatzero. Interesting. Rashi is looking for an explanation as to why this is called tikkun. Yitzchak Isaac, why does Rashi need that? Why not just drop it? What should Rashi have said? Why is he put in this case? Because ain o tzarech. Leguma! He has no need for the Guma. Rashi feels somehow compelled to add that he's been mekalkel his chatzer. And Rashi's Lashitasa, take a look in Shabbos, the same memra of Rabbi Abba, it's on the top of your page 2. Hachofer Guma Shabbos Yein Tzarech El Yafra, Potter Ale. Rafilu Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, it's mekalkel. Rashi says, mekalkel is beso. Rashi's looking for a kilkul. His chatzer has been devaluated. His bias is no longer what it is because he's got a guma in his bias. Is Rashi seems to be looking consistently to explain that this is a meleches kilkul. It's not enough for Rashi to tell us that he has no need for it and therefore it's not a tikkun. Rashi goes a step further and says, no, it's a kilkul. And the one who notices this is the Magid Mishnah. Take a look at the Magid Mishnah. This is Perek Aleph, Halach Yud Zayin on the Rambam that we saw earlier. And the Magid Mishnah says that Umikan, do you see the last line of the Magid Mishnah? Shim Haisa Guma B'Makom She'ein Bo Kilkul. Afal pisha ain't tzarech la chayav alei l'das Rabbeinu Zal. What does it mean l'das Rabbeinu Zal? Which sheet of the Rambam is he referring to? New Rabosa. Again, says Zokta Magid Mishnah, if he doesn't need the guma, simply doesn't need it. Says the Magid Mishnah, he would be chayav. Why would he be chayav? And the answer is because we can't shim oisa guma b'makom she'ein bo kilkul. What does he mean, ein bo kilkul? Does he have any need for the guma, Rabosai? He has. It's neutral. He has no need for the guma. Afal pi she'ein tzarech lo. He's about as outspoken as you can expect of him. Ah, exactly. Rabbi Yehuda malach she'ein tzarech l'gufa chayev. But even Rabbi Yehuda's moda that kilkul is patur. He went and he dug a hole in his bias. What does the bias gain by this hole, by this guma? Absolutely zippo, nothing. Because he has no need for this guma. He's not burying the dead in the guma, and he's not planting seeds in the guma. So what's he doing? And the Magid Mishnah says, v'zeh pashut, that even though he has no tikkun, he's chayev. It's not called the Meleches Kilkul, meaning that Magid Mishnah understands as a Dover Pasha that in order to establish something as a Kilkul, you need to have a positive Kilkul, so to speak. And that's a Pella. Because here
you have a Tikkun by eating the dirt, the Afal.
Okay, but what are you going to say for Rashi? He's saying this not because of the Rambam's unique Shita. He's saying the Rambam's unique Shita is that Meloch Shein Tzrich Leguf is Chayav. But as far as the definition of Meleches Kilkul, the Magid Mishnah is being medayek from the fact that the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is called a chiyuv unless he's makalkal eitzel abayis, unless the guma is a kilkul to the chatzer. That's the diuk of the Magid Mishnah. Rabbi Osai, we're not limited to the Shitas HaRambam. This is true, and it's appellate to me how the Magid Mishnah could say Zeh Pashut. This is a Rishon, the Magid Mishnah. A late Rishon, but a Rishon. What do you mean Zeh Pashut? I would have said that in order to establish a Malacha, as a Malacha, it's got to be meaningful. It's got to be necessary. You've got to accomplish something. No, he's saying the following. If it's not a kilkul, it's just neutral, then you're chayav. Again, you have a problem. But let's say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam Paschal is like Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayav. But what about the basic definition of tikkun, which establishes the malacha as a constructive malacha? It's got to be malachas tikkun. This is an unbelievable Magid Mishnah, and truth be told, I'm only quoting the Magid Mishnah because if there's anyone here in the audience that's a little bit suspicious of me, so blame the Magid Mishnah, don't blame Berzon. But the truth is, it's Rashi. Rashi is saying in order for Chofer Guma to be Patur, you've got to have a Kilkul. The bias has gone down in its value. Go try to sell on, you know, you bring in, I don't know if any of you have ever had this experience, you know, where the agent comes to bring in potential clients who want to either rent the house or buy the house. And imagine the guy comes into the door and he trips in the hole. So he says, you know, call kavod, Mr. Agent, but you brought me to a very strange kind of dilapidated house. I mean, the first thing I did, I walked in and I tripped in a guma. That's why Rashi says you're potter. But who needs that? As long as you have no tikkun over here, no one's using the guma for anything constructive, that itself should make it into a maleches kilkul. Meaning, I would have said, if not for the sugya in Chagiga and here in Klal Gadol with the Rashi and the Magid Mishnah, that in order to create a maleches tikkun, I need that there's some heftah shel tikkun. In the heft itself, there's got to be tikkun. Or according to the Rambam, the Gavra should have to be interested in his das in a maleches tikkun. Here, neither the heft is a tikkun, nor is the das a Gavra to tikkun. And guess what? You're chayim. But again, even the Rambam, when he says that your need for a tikkun, your das, makes it into a maleches tikkun, it's only when you need this malach itself. In other words, the guma doesn't. What I'm saying is, it's like, listen, Yitzhak Isaac, the bias is not helped ki hu zeh. In other words, this is not a tikkun for the bias. You know, the fact that he didn't, you know, he wanted to save himself, you know, the effort.
So you're doing a melacha she'ein atzichol gufo, because you're doing a melacha of choifer, but you don't need the choifer, you just need that file. And it's not a mekalkil.
But why isn't it a mekalkil? Because it's not a kilkul. Okay, I grant you. But where's the tikkun? That's what I'm wondering. Is it enough that a melacha is not a kilkul to say therefore yechai? And that seems to undermine everything that we're saying about Malechas Machsheves. Malechas Machsheves means there's got to be some chashivas to the Malacha. I look at the Malacha and I see a chashivas. At least from the Rambam says, from his subjective perspective, the Raivan and the Rashi require an objective chashivas to the Malacha. But where's the chashivas to this Malacha? Rashi says, nay. You know why he's potter? Because when the agent brings a potential client to see the house and he trips in the guma, he doesn't want to buy the house. I'm just dramatizing. Is Rabosai, I'll tell you the truth. I suspect, and again, you're the jury, you could either accept this or not, that as a general rule, there's no question about it. When we deal with a malacha that is destructive, we're dealing with chavola, when we're dealing with kriya, when we're dealing with havara, when we're dealing with mechika, I have no doubt in my mind that you need a positive tikkun to make it into a maleches tikkun. The malacha per se has no chashivas to it without the tikkun. Whether the tikkun is something that, as the Ravid would wave the banner, everyone would accept, it's a kiyum mitzvah, whatever it might be, or From the Rambam's perspective, it's a tikkun for you. But you need a tikkun. The Sugyan Chagigah and the Magid Mishnah in Perek Aleph are addressing a different kind of malacha. They're talking about a malacha of Meleches Binyan, a malacha where the malacha per se is meaningful, Charisha. The malacha in and of itself is constructive. It has a status to it. I don't have to pump in the oil, you know, the gasoline in the petrol station in order to give it a status of a malacha. But I have no doubt that whether it's the Rambam Shita in Korea or in Mavir, where he needs for his purposes, he has to have a das l'tikun, or the Ravid Shita, where objectively it would be a tikun for anyone in that space, in that situation, because he's being mekayim a mitzvah, or at least he's not doing an avera. But if it's a malacha, which in and of itself is a kilkul, that's the nature of the malacha, it's a destructive malacha, is kuliyama lo pligi. That unless you have a tikkun, whether it be objective or subjective, you're not chayiv for malacha Shabbos. And this, I think, perhaps, would lead us in to my second discussion for today about malachas machshevas. And here what I'd like you to do is fast forward for a moment to page 3. And we'll just switch around the order. And I want to talk to you about a Mishnah in the same perek, but just one daf later, on daf kuf vav amid beis. So if you have the Mishnah, this is the famous Mishnah of Tzedas Tzvi. Yoshav ha'echad al ha'pesach, v'lo milo. Yoshav ha'sheni milo, ha'sheni chai. Fine. Yoshav ha'rishon al ha'pesach, u'milo. Good. So at this point, Rabosai, who's responsible for the Tzedas HaTzvi? Right? We're in the case of Yoshev HaRishon al Pesach, Umilo. He fills up the entire Pesach. The Rishon, correct? Now, Bo Asheni V'Yoshev B'Tzido. This is what I call moral support. I give you moral support. Afal Pisha Omad HaRishon, it's more than moral support, because the Rishon decided to pack his bags and leave. V'Holachlo. Harishon Chayov Vasheni Pot. Good. So I would have said very simply, the Mishnah is establishing that Meleches Tzeda is complete through the Rishon because he filled up the opening. The Tzvi is already what? Is already trapped. Now, what does the Sheni do? He comes along and he gives chizuk to the Rishon. Now it's at the moment that the Sheni sits down, he's not creating a tzedah. The tzedah is already a given. He's doing shmirah in the sense that, you know, in case the first tzedah will be undermined, will be removed, so now he will have the tzedah. But he's not doing a meleches tzedah. And the Mishnah decides to illustrate this. Lema zed dome, linoel es beso lishomro. A man locks his door. Right? And the Rishonim say the door was closed already, but he locks the door. Vinimtzas tzvi shomor besocho. And lo and behold, there's a tzvi inside. Clearly, he's potter. Rashi says, "Nimtza tzvi shehu nitzod kvar shomer b'tocho." It was already nitzod. Okay, now you lock the door. And Rashi says that this is a mashal for the first case, which is really the second case, but the previous case in the Mishnah v'chein. Here also, afal pisha amad arishon, the first person left. Ain't ze elikis shomro litzvi shahayelo esmo. So it seems that the yisoda yisodas of this Mishnah, in both what I call the nimshal and the mashal at the end, is the following. There are two halachas in Seder. One is Seder Mamish, I call it, and the other is Shmira. You're chayef for Seder Mamish. You're not chayef for Shmira. If the animal is already nitzon, then even though your action is meaningful, and it may guarantee that the animal will remain in the state of Shamur, but nevertheless, it wasn't an act of Tzeda, it was an act of Shmir. Two nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is the case where the Sheni comes and the animal is already nitzod machmas harishon. Okay, the Sheni is meaningful, you know, in event that the Rishon falls asleep or he flies the coop, we need the Sheni. But what did the Sheni actually do? He did an act of Shmir. And Mashal Amad over Dome, a person already has a Tzvi in his house. The Tzvi is nitzod, but you know what? You never know. Maybe the Tzvi will, you know, if you be in a very powerful, aggressive mood, it'll bang down the doors and it'll get out. So by locking the door of his house, he did a Shmira. Shmira is not enough to engender a Chiyuv. And this is what Rashi means when he says, V'chein. He says, "Afal pi shomer rishon ein ze elik shomer litzvi shahaylo me esma." He's only adding a little bit, and it could be that that little bit is meaningful. It's a shmira, but since the animal is already nitzod, then shmira does not equal seida. That's how I thought Rashi was learning the Mishnah, and I still think so today. But then I looked at the Rambam. And I think the Rambam is saying something pilei ploy, unbelievable Rambam. Says the Rambam, Perek Yud Halacha Chav Gimel, and this I think will really open up the whole concept of Meleches Machshavos. Says the Rambam, Tzvi Shenichnas Labayis, V'Noal Echad B'Fonav, Chayef. Nalu Shnayim is Ptur. Im Ein Echad Yachal Linol, fine, this is called Shnayim Shasu, you know, Vizei Yef Shalom, Ishnayim Chayov. Okay, now we get to the punchline. Yoshav Echad Ala Pesach, Velo Milo, V'yoshav Hasheni Milo, Hasheni Chayov. Yoshav Harishon Umilehu, Uba Hasheni V'yoshav Betzido, Afal pisha omad harishon veholach lo harishon chayev. And now the Rambam adds four words. Vasheni lo asa klum. Avosai, what's the chiddush of the Rambam? Why is the sheni chayev? After all, the Rambam admits that he's doing tzeda. Correct? In other words, what is tzeda, Avosai? Is tzeda just a momentary thing? For one split second, the animal is nitzod. Tzeda is an ongoing situation. We call rega v'rega, he's considered nitzod. So in other words, the Rambam is bothered. Why isn't the sheni chayav? Because now the sheni is supplying the tzeda. He's now the tzad, es ha-tzvi. In other words, it's true that at one point in time, it was the Rishon Milo, and he was the one who was chayav mishum tzeda. But the Rishon is now gone, and the Sheni is responsible for Tzeda. Sokta Rambam, lo asa klum, why is he potter, why is the Sheni potter? Don't know what your answer at once. Exactly, didn't do anything. Lo asa klum, says the Rambam. You can castigate him, and you can bring him to a court of law. Why did he pick himself up and leave? By staying in the state that he's in, he is responsible for the tzeda of the tzvi. The original tzeda is gone. But it doesn't matter, says the Rambam. Lo asa klum, because the Rambam holds that meleches machsheves requires a melacha b'kum v'aseh, an active melacha, and not a melacha b'shev v'al taseh. And this, I think, will explain the mashal of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah's terms, Noal Beso L'Shamro, the Rambam interprets that ne'ilah is not considered a Maisa Seda, since the door is already closed and he's just adding a Ne'ila. So that's not Seda. Ne'ila is not Seda when the animal is already locked up because the door is closed. And therefore the Rambam says, to the same extent that in the case of Ne'ila, you're potter because it's not a Maisa Seda at all, so too in the case of the Sheni, who can be held guilty and responsible for not picking himself up and leaving, that's not called a Maisa Seda. However, Rabosai, the Magid Mishnah quotes a Ramban. The Ramban has a different take on this Mishnah that we learned in Masechet Shabbos, Kuf Vav Amud Beis. And according to the Magid Mishnah, we're talking about a person who locked his house and he had no kavana for Maleches Tzedu. And he only finds out later on that there's a tzvi inside his house. What's the pirish of our Mishnah? Noel es beis olishomro. He knows he has expensive valuables in his house and he wants to lock his door so that no one steals. Lo no de lo shayasham tzvi klal. There was no awareness of the fact that there was a tzvi there. So a whole other pshat. The nimtza said tzvi hayasham. For who shoma shamu or betocho? Shemutalo lahamid ha pesach no ad chashecha. See, the Ramban is asking himself the following question. Pshita. Michael Mashmon, we have halacha misasik is potter in Shabbos. A man is not aware of the fact that he's doing a malacha. He doesn't even know that there's a tzvi inside his house. So you have to tell me in the Mishnah that he's potter. I mean, what was the havamina? So the Ramban, there was a havamina. The havamina was that he should be permitted. I'm sorry, that he should be prohibited from continuing to lock the door. Because now he knows full well that there's a tzvi inside his house. But no, the Chiddush of our Mishnah is Mutalo lahamid ha pesach nol. Leave the pesach nol status quo. Ad chashecha until after Shabbos. He gains a tzvi. Like the Gemara says in Masechta Beitza that tzvi is a very good delicacy. Have you ever eaten it? You know what it's called in English? Venison. Venison. I had venison once in my life. It was a piece this big and it cost $50. I didn't pay the bill. Just for your knowledge. I wouldn't have. But I had a Talmud who was treating me in New York and he said, Rebbe, you got to try once in your life, you got to try to eat tzvi. I found it very hard. It was not, I didn't like it. Okay. Do you need something, Mordechai?
Sorry, guys. I think yeah.
No, I don't know whether I should accept your apologies or not. Okay. V'chein, says the Ramban, im yoshav al pesach v'nimtza shetzvi hoya bebeso mutalo leishev mipnei shekod matzeda lemachshova. What's the yisod of the Ramban? It's the same yisod that we said before. That there's no such thing as a malach of shevi altase. When you know that you're doing an act of tzeda and you go ahead and you do the tzeda, the ma'aseh tzeda, you're chayav for malach, that's called malachas machsheves. That's a malach hachashuva. But if at the time you did the malach, you were unaware of the malach, you didn't know that there was a tzvi inside. Now you find out there's a tzvi inside and you want to passively continue the tzeda so that the animal remains nitzo l'chol regev regev until chashecha, that you're allowed to do. And Rabosai, it means that both the Rambam and the Ramban accept this principle that Melech HaShabbos requires an action, and without an action, it's not called Melech HaShabbos. That's why I'll be honest with you, I am very perplexed about the elevator issue. In my shul, in Har Nof, this is, you know, it's like World War III over, because there are a lot of older people in our shul and they want to institute an elevator. It's a whole to do, you know. You need a hechsher on an elevator, you know, a little dozen yens. And The honest truth is, the biggest problem with an elevator is that the weight of a person on the elevator causes the elevator to work even harder. Or take, for example, I remember when I was a kid, there was a very famous case of a busload of very religious people that went off for Shabbos on a Friday to a fancy Shabbaton, you know, a hotel with the Glatt brothers. I don't know, okay, this is, I'm really dating myself. Anyway, and what happened was, all of a sudden it started snowing. I mean, where you come from, Akiva, it doesn't happen, would it? But it started snowing, and in those days, I guess the meteorologists were not so... today, of course, they're, you know, they're experts. They know exactly how much it's going to snow, right? Harai Yushalayim a few weeks ago, right? But in any event, it started snowing, there was a blizzard, and the bus actually got there into Shabbos. And there was a whole tumult, I remember, because they said that the people in the bus, because of the sheer weight, caused the bus to have to work harder, you know, to have to eat up more gasoline and so forth and so on, more energy. I'll tell you the truth. In the light of what we're discussing today about Malachas Machsheves, there's nothing to talk about. COVID aguf is not a malacha. It's a situation of Shevi Altas. So I don't know what all the Tararam is all about. No, what I'm saying is that they went on the bus before. In the case of the elevator, you might have an additional issue, but what happens is with these elevators is that when you go into the elevator is stationary. So what are you going to say, but my weight as the elevator closes, you know, when the time comes, is causing it to work hard. I don't know. That's not a malach, it would seem to me. Now, I want to point out Tosfos in Erevin. This is a fascinating Tosfos. Tosfos quotes the Rashbam. You have this, it's in the middle of your page 3. Pasak Rashbam, the mutal ikanes besfino mivod yom. A person could go into a boat before Shabbos, Berev Shabbos. Afilu shasfino leches michutz l'tchum b'Shabbos. Even though the boat is going to take you outside the tchum. Why? The Sfina, look at the language of the Rashbam. The Sfina, Mimela Ka'azla. What does it mean, Mimela Ka'azla? He's not doing a thing. Iu lav midi ka'avid. And the Rashbam goes further than that. He says, V'od pasuk Rashbam afilu b'Shabbos shari likanes. Even on Shabbos he can go into the boat. Kaven de lav midi ka'avid. He's not actively causing the holochas ha'sfina. V'od ratza Rashbam lahatir. Now Tosis, you should know, is upset. He doesn't like the Rashbam because he's afraid that maybe if we allow him to enter into the boat, then he might get out of the boat, and if he gets out of the boat, he'll violate chutz l'tchum. Okay. V'od ratza Rashbam lahatir likanis bekaron b'Shabbos, to go into a railroad, basically a train, the Nachri Molicho, and it's being run by a non-Jewish operator, Chutz L'Tchum, and he's going outside the Tchum. The Chazer Bo. And he changed his mind. Why? Mishum Shema Yifku Bo Listim, O Shema Yishkach V'Yereid, V'Yein Lo El Arbamis, he'll violate the Yisr Chutz L'Tchum. But you see one thing clearly, that no one, whether it's the Rashbam or the Rishonim in Tosfos that argue with the Rashbam, are worried on a Doraisa level that he's violating the Yisr Chutz L'Tchum. He's doing it B'Shevi Altaser, the Ozla Memela, the Iu Lav Midi Ka'avid. He's not doing anything actively. So you see that Yitzia Chutz L'Tchum according to Rashbam, like any Malach of Shabbos, requires a Kumvaseh. But here, if you're doing it B'Shevi Altaser, then you haven't violated the Iser of Chutz L'Tchum. And truth be told, even if you argue that you violate Chutz L'Tchum, I would say that that's because the Isur Tchumin is not a malacha. It's a separate Isur on Shabbos, like Mechamer or Havar Olechalik Yotzis, according to that Mandi Yomar. We don't pass like that, but you know, there are many Isurim on Shabbos, or Shvisas Kalim according to Beit Shammai, but all of those are Isurim of Shabbos, but Malach of Shabbos, which requires Malechas Machsheves, requires an action, Bekumbase. And finally, Rabbi Olsen, the third thing I wanted to talk to you about, which I think is just the next step in our conversation, is the Rambam in Perek Hei Mehilcha Shabbos, Halacha Yudzai. And here there's an amazing chiddush in the Rambam, but again, I think you'll only appreciate this Rambam if you read Rabbeinu Chananel carefully. The Rambam writes that if you have a candle that's behind the door in such a way that as soon as you open the door, you extinguish the candle, is the Rambam says that you're not allowed to do that. You have to be very, very careful because of kibui. You're actually violating Malachas kibui unless yizoyer b'shas psicha u'b'shas ne'ila. If you could somehow manage to open this door, I don't know how you do this, without blowing out the candle, and the candle is situated right outside the door, but okay, you could do it, the Rambam says, then it's okay. Now look at the Sefer, the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Sefer, v'asu liftoach es hadeles k'neged amedora. He has a medura, and that means that he's going to fan the flames, which is meleches mavir, because when he opens the deles, he knows that the ruach is going to blow in. V'afal pisha ein sham ela ruach mitzuya. You know, we're not dealing with an unusual wind, which would really fan the flames very high, but just a regular velocity, normal wind, and nevertheless the Rambam says it's awesome. So all the Mefarshim point out that there's a difference between the Reish and the Rambam and the Sefer. In the Sefer, the Rambam says, Kidei shetehei haruach min ha-shevespa. What does that mean, Kidei shetehei? What condition is the Rambam adding here in the Sefer that doesn't exist in the Reish? Why is he opening the door in the Sefer, says the Rambam? Why is it Asur? Kidei shetehei haruach min ha-shevespa. What does that mean? I understand. So what? Right. So what concept? You know, just in Lashon Kodesh, if you don't mind, one word.
Rambam?
No, the Rambam is saying that. Why is he chayv in the sefer? Because kavana. He has kavana. So the question is, in the Reisha, the Rambam doesn't add kadeshiyeh haner nichba. In the sefer, the Rambam says kadeshiyeh haruach no sheves ba. Why does the Rambam add the precondition of Kavana in the Sefer and not in the Reisha? And now we're ready, Akiv, for what you said. What kind of Malach are we dealing with in the Sefer as opposed to the Reisha? A Grama. The Rambam is Mechadish, an unbelievable Chiddush. The Rambam says that even though Grama is not Meleches Machsheves, Bamed Varma Mur, if you don't have Kavana, but if you do it deliberately and you set up a chain of events in order to achieve a malacha, the Rambam says, then you chaya for that malacha. And that's what I think is Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat in the Gemara in Shabbos. Om Rabbi Yehuda daf kuf chaf amid beis. Poseach adam deles keneged madora b'Shabbos. You're allowed to open up a door and allow the winds to come in and blow and fan the flames. Light Omer Abaye. Abaye says, how could that be? Oh, Bamea askina, Bamaya askina, Ilema Baruach Mitsuya. If it's a regular wind, so he's just opening up the door. My time at the Bandi Yasa. The Ibaruch Shayna Mitsuya, my time at the Bandi Shari, Leola Baruch Mitsuya, Marsavar Gazrinon, we make Exera. Ruach Mitsuya Atu Ruach She'eno Mitsuya. Why would he be chayev in the case of a Ruach She'eno Mitsuya? Says Rabbeinu Chananel. This is a beautiful Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabosa, I would ask you to take this Rabbeinu Chananel as your introduction to Masechet Shabbos. He says the following: Ki pligi beruach mitsuya abayi sover gazrinan ruach mitsuya atu ruach she'eno mitsuya ukamrinan beperek hakones. This is the famous sugya of Isho Mishum Chitzav. In the sixth paragraph of a comment, it says, Libav Alivsar Ruach, if he blows the fire, and the wind joins together with him and blows the fire, Im Yesh Bilibuyav Kidei Labosa Chayavim Lav Potur, if his act of blowing would not be sufficient to fan the flames and cause an Eish, and a mazik of eshis potur vakshinin amai potur lehevi kizorev ruach mesayaso. Why is it different than meleches zoreh, where the wind comes along and blows away the chaff, and he's chayv from meleches Shabbos? Ravashi Omar. I'm skipping all the other amorim that give other answers, because this is what Rabbeinu Chananel wants to do. He says, Ki amrinon zorev ruach mesayato hainu hani milinyan Shabbos de meleches machsheves osra Torah. Here's where we see Melech Machsheves as a Chumrah. You're chayav in Shabbos because of the special, unique halacha meleches machsheves. You calculated it in such a way that the ruach will come and achieve meleches zoreh. Aval halacha, but here in Nezikin, grama bi'almahu, grama b'nezikin potu. Now look at the last line of Ravina Chanan. Shmamina, the kevan, the mashvei urcha, since by opening the door, he's creating an urcha. He's creating a, what do you call it in England? We call it a road in America. What do they call it in England? Also a road? Oh, you, what? A pathway, okay. He's creating a pathway or a road for the ruach. You know, like knock, knock, Mr. Ruach or Mrs. Ruach, come in, now's the time. Is there fafilu ruach mitsuya? Lilabos, umechashiv lekein. Please underline those two words. And Rabbeinu Chanan says he's thinking this all out. This is well deliberated and deliberate and calculated. Is aser b'shabbes dahainu meleches machsheves. We're talking about something that in Kol HaTorah Kula Nezika would be constituted as what? As grama. And in Shabbos you would have said he's also put to me din grama name. Meleches machsheves tells me that if you had a machshava to set up this chain reaction, this grama, then you're chayav. We don't have time now, but if we have time, I'd love to go with you together through the Shilta Giborim. The Shilta Giborim you'll see on Mem Heyam at Aleph, and it starts. Here it is. It starts on the right column on the bottom in the classical Vilna Shas, 10 lines up from the bottom. He says, Mikol makom nira, devade kol gram kibui, disharinon, when we matir gram kibui, hu beinyon, she'enom iskavi lechabos. Elu ose shum davar, lachlots bifnei adleka. On the contrary, he's not trying to put out the fire, he's trying to protect the fire from spreading. Vayidei kach bolidei kibui. Kahide parsin and or, omachitzes kalim, mayim, nesinus clay rakon, etc., etc., and all those cases. She'enem iskavi lechabos. El lahagin. Lahagin means he's just trying to protect himself so that the ash will not come and damage. If that's a grama, is shapir dummy is allowed to do it? The lohavi elagram kibui, but dafka below miskave, the imachave lekacha filu al yidei grama asur. Interesting. Shilta Gemara spells out what we saw in Rabbeinu Chanano. So just to summarize everything, if you take a look at the Rambam at the very beginning of Hilchas Shabbos, the Rambam points out, this is on the bottom of your page 3, that you can always start a malacha on Erev Shabbos, even though the malacha continues on Shabbos, because that's again a malacha b'shevi altaseh. And he gives in Halacha Beis a whole list of examples. All these examples are taken from Beit Shammai at the end of the first parak in Shabbos, because Beit Shammai say that this is all usur, you can't open the irrigation system Erev Shabbos, and the water will irrigate on Shabbos. You're not allowed to leave Mugmar, according to Beit Shammai, but all this is mutter, we pass like Beis Hillel. You're allowed to light the Mugmar under the Kalim, even though the process of Srefas Mugmar, Bir Mugmar, will take place during Shabbos. And so too, you're allowed to set up a refuah before Shabbos, and the refuah will take place on Shabbos. You're allowed to put dye into the water, and the dye will seep into all the wool in the thing, nosin semoliora, etc., etc. And all this is mutter because he does nothing on Shabbos. And Yushalmi says, why does Beit Shammai aser it? And Yushalmi is beautiful. I think we've quoted this Yushalmi in the past when we were speaking about Shehi on Shabbos, which is an Issa D'Rabbanan. The Yushalmi says, Perek Alpha Lochahei, Mai Tamayu de Beit Shammai, Sheshes Yomim Tavod. Sound familiar? We just read it yesterday. Sheshes Yomim Tavod, V'asisa Kol Malachtecha. What is the Torah telling me about 6 days? Kol Malachtecha Gemura Mibod Yom. During the 6 days, all your malachas should be complete. Mai Tamayu de Beit Shammai, Sheshes Yomim Tasa Masecha Ubi Yom. He has a different way of reading the pasuk. And therefore, the Rambam, here at the beginning of Perek Gimel, Mehilchas Shabbos, emphasizes that you're allowed to put food onto the fire, Manichim Kedera al Gabi Aish, O Basar Betanur al Gabi Gacholim, Ve Misbashlim Vahokim Kol Shabbos Kula, Ve Ochlon Osa Beshabbos. Then the Rambam writes, Ve Yesh Bedover Zeh, Dvarim Shem Asurim. There are cases where it's Asur, like Lone Spashal called Tzarko, Gzeira Shem Yechata Vigacholim Beshabbos. But if not for the Gzeira of Shem Yechata Vigacholim, Shehiyah would be Mutter, says the Rambam. Why? Because Shehiyah means that the Malach was done Erev Shabbos. Let's just summarize. We have 3 points today. Number one, that there's something called Mekalkel, which is part of because it's lacking in Meleches Machsheves. We had two definitions of Tikkun. What constitutes Melechet Tikkun? Number two, we had the case of Tzedah, which the Rambam says, Lo Asa Klum. And the Ramban embellishes this, that he didn't do a malacha bekum vaaseh, and that's the Rambam here in Perek Gimel, Melech Shabbos, that all malachas that happen v'shevi altaseh over Shabbos are mutter. And finally, we had the chumrah of Meleches Machsheves, that if you have a grama situation for which you potter on Shabbos, if you set up the grama situation actively and deliberately, bekavana, then you're chayev on Shabbos.
Yes. The elevator case, isn't that the active grama case? You step into the elevator, you know full well that it's going to cause the motors to expend more energy.
Correct, I was about to add that.
Zevin,
I got the...
Just Derek Hargav, Rav Zevin brings a sivyad of the rumba.
Rav Zevin brings a what?
A sivyad from the rumba, that if you set up something else, a timer... Rav Shachter brings, quotes this Ksiv Yad in his article on timers and Shabbos.
By the way, do you call it a Ksiv Yad because you know that that's how you're supposed to pronounce the word?
No.
Oh, okay. No. I just thought sometimes, you know, I hear new digdug. Right, we call it a Ksav Yad. Okay, no, yeah. Okay, so a Ksav Yad from who?
From the Rambam. That something that's set up on a timer. But so all the cases in the Gemara that you put the Begadim in the Jo already on Erev Shabbos, in Rav Moshe's Lashon, you were sivuk from the Etzem Malacha already by Erev Yom.
But here is that since you're involved with
the
clock,
timer on, and you didn't even start the Malacha, now the Mavashal starts on Shabbos, and you never even turned a flame on or anything.
Even Beis Hillel would agree.
Even Beis Hillel, the Lashon of the Rambam is even Beis Hillel would agree to this.
Okay.
That's
something, if you could show it to me, I'll add it to my repertoire.
Okay.
All right. It's good. I'm just.